This week is Parshas Vayeshev. Vayeshev Yaakov Be'eretz Megurei Oviv. Yaakov dwells in the land of his father's sojourn, Be'eretz Canaan. Ela told us Yaakov Yosef, these are the children of Yaakov. Yosef, 17 years old. So the Torah is telling us this is a drama of Yaakov and Yosef. And it says, V'Yisrael ohavis Yosef mikol echav, and Yaakov loves Yosef more than other children. So the question is, why the Torah calls him Yisrael? V'Yisrael ohavis Yosef. Keeps calling him Yaakov, 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 and then when it comes to loving, it says, V'Yisrael ohavis Yosef. So the Noiz Desha, the son of the Ishbitzer, he says, it's not a statement, it's a kasha, it's a question. Yisroel Oyevus Yosef. You see, when Yaakov is Yaakov, then Yosef is the head. When Yaakov is Yisroel, then Yehuda is the head. See, Yaakov is small. Yaakov ki miyokum Yaakov, the Pusik says in Amos, miyokum Yaakov ki koton. Who can raise Yaakov? He's small. When Yaakov is small, like when Yaakov goes down to Egypt, when Yaakov is in Gulis, is in exile, then Yosef the Tzaddik, he's the head of all the Jewish people. Because when we're in Gullis and we're in the dark, then Yosef's way of worshipping God, which is to be very super, hyper careful and vigilant, then Yosef is the only one. You know, the Torah tells us that Rashi says, "B'Yisrael oyves Yosef mikol bonov." Rashi says, "Mashalomad mishen ve'eve mosar aloy." When the Torah tells us that Yisrael loved Yosef from all his sons, it means that whatever he learned from Shem and Eve, those years that he was there, the Gemara says that for 14 years after he ran away from Esav, before he got to Choron, he hid himself in the house of Shem ve'Eva. Shem was the son of Noach, and Eva was his grandson. We are Ivrim, Hebrews, because we descended from Eva. So what he learned there, he gave over to Yosef. What did he learn there? Torah he learned from Avraham and Yitzchak. He was 17, almost 18 years old when Avram, his grandfather, died. Whatever Torah there was to learn, he learned from Avram and Yitzchak. So what did he learn from Shem and Eva? And why the Rashi says, Mosar loy, he gave it over to Yosef. It doesn't say he taught it to Yosef. Because what he realized, what Yaakov realized, is that he's going into exile. In a sense, the very first exile, Yaakov, when he's by Lavan, and he knows, like he davened, Bein Shalem, please, Ushmurani, please, if you will only guard me, protect me from Lavan, from learning his ways and becoming like him. So Yaakov was afraid of what's going to be to go to Mesopotamia and to live with a pagan like Lavan. And later, when he comes back, Rimtzach, he has confidence in himself because he says, "Im Lavan garti, I lived with Lavan. I could stay Ayid." So for that, he had to go to Shem and Eva. Shem was with his father Noach when they built the ark. So he was in that generation of the Dor HaMabul the generation of the great deluge. And Aver, he was the one who was called Peleg. He was the great prophet at the time of the Tower of Babel, who told people to their face what was going to happen if they continued down that road. He was the greatest prophet of his time, and Shem, of course, was the great prophet of his time. Yaakov went to them to learn, how do you stay a Yid? This Avraham and Yitzchak couldn't teach him. Yaakov could already see as a child that in Yosef's destiny there was the need. And so the Torah tells us, Yisrael ohav es Yosef mikol bonav, that he gives him over the secrets. He says to Yosef, you know, you're going to have to know how to stay a Yid. And Shlomi used to say, if there is somewhere in the world today a Yid who's not a pagan, who's not a Christian, who's not a Muslim or a Buddhist or a Hindu, if today somewhere in a corner of the world hidden away, there's a Psayidl who's still a Yidl, we only have Yosef HaTzadik to thank. Because if he hadn't shown us the way, we wouldn't be able to know the way. How you can live outside Eretz Yisrael without the Beit HaMikdash and without the Kohen Gadol and without the Sanhedrin and without Moshe Rabbeinu. How you can live without your land, without your family, without any belongings. How you can live without anything b'choisekol and still be a Yid. For that, we have to access inside us. And the truth is that even inside the Yidl who is a Christian, and inside the Yidl who is a Muslim, and inside the Yidl who is a pagan, inside there's still a Yosef HaTzadik inside each of us, who is the Pintelit. Now, the Torah tells us, Vayeshev Yaakov Be'eretz Mugurei Oviv Be'eretz Canaan. Yaakov dwelt in the land of the sojourn of his fathers in Canaan. Well, don't we know where he is? Ela told us Yaakov Yosef, and these are the children, these are the generations, the chronicles of Yaakov. Yosef is 17 years old. Why do I need to know that it's the land of Canaan? Because Yaakov thinks, just as his father Yitzchak, really, after the death of Avraham, Yitzchak lives in Be'er Lachai Roi. Yitzchak goes into a meditation for the rest of his life to sort himself out from his brother Ishmael. Yaakov thinks that his job in life is to sort himself out against his brother Esav. And that's really, you see, if there's one thread that goes through this week's Sedra, it's confusion. Nobody knows what's happening. And the trouble is, as they say, generals are always fighting the last war, right? And it's no different for us, everybody. I mean, you can only deal with the world in terms of your experience and the context and the precedents that you have in your life. And when things that happen to you, you look at yourself, at your life, and you learn a lesson. And Yaakov Avinu, the Torah tells us, he's dwelling in the dwelling place of his father. He thinks, just as my father had to be Mevara himself, make himself transparent against his brother Ishmael, I need to make myself transparent against my brother Esav. And of course we know that the transparency of Yaakov against Esav has a name. It's called Yosef. That Yosef is the Tzion. Yosef is the upstanding one. And Rabbeinu Shlom doesn't allow him to do any averis, doesn't allow him to be nichshel, to stumble. God doesn't allow him, he protects him from stumbling into sin, because Esav is very frum. Esav is a pope and a mullah. And you know, Esav is so holy that he doesn't, you know, ask his wife to make him a cup of tea. if he has a wife. I remember hearing, you know, how great Ayatollah Khomeini was, that he never, his wife, after he passed away, she said, you know, in we were married 50 years, he never even asked me for a cup of tea. He always made it himself, as a heilig. See, against Amalek, you have to have Yosef, who is completely flawless. He's a tzaddik. And you know, Yaakov, he's in Eretz Megurei Aviv in Eretz Canaan. And you know, Yaakov knows that the big mitzvah of living in Eretz Canaan is Mechias Amalek. We have to get rid of Amalek. That's the meaning. And that's why the Rashi brings the Medrash, because Yaakov leishet b'shalva. Yaakov wants to live in serenity. What does he mean? He wants to live in serenity. He wants it to be the future. He wants it to be olam haba. He wants it to be Yemos Hamashiach. He wants it to be that time of the redemption. And so there has to be Mechias Amalek. And who is going to lead the world in the battle against Amalek, which basically just means to stand up and let Amalek, you know, mirror himself against you and shrivel? That's Yosef. See, what Yaakov doesn't know is that there are three mitzvahs. There are three things that happen to us when we come into the land of Israel. It's not just Mechias Amalek. It's not just to get rid of Amalek. There's the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. We have to build the Holy Temple. And we have to appoint a king. These two mitzvahs, they belong to the children of Leah. All Yaakov can see is the children of Rachel. All he can see, because for Yaakov, the great, the purpose is to be sorted, to become transparent against Esau. He knows that because he saw it by his father. The job was to be sorted against Yishmael. See, Yaakov doesn't know that he's got 600,000. It's more than 500,000 children. Neshamelech. And they can't know that. Not nobody can know that. This is a secret. Even though God has said to Avram, and your children are going to be like the stars. If you can you count the stars? You can't count the stars. You know, when God makes his promises, we start to think, oh, it's a metaphor. It's a mushel. Not to be taken literally. It's to be taken literally. Yaakov, nobody can see this. Nish Yaakov, Nish Yosef, not anybody. And so Yaakov raises the status, and so the Torah says, "V'Yisrael ohav es Yosef." What business does Yisrael? Yaakov can make Yosef the boss, but Yisrael, he should know better. He should know that when it comes to the greatness, which is Israel, as opposed to Jacob, there Yehuda gova be'echav. So everybody's in confusion. The brothers, they think they do understand that it's not simply how Yosef understands it, that just as Avraham has children and one of them is the chosen, just as Yitzchak has children, or one of them is chosen, Yaakov has children, and one of them is chosen. I mean, that's how Yosef understands the narrative. The brothers know that that's not the case. And, you know, Yosef brings his bad report. He says they eat evim nachai, they eat a limb of the living animal, they don't do shechita properly, they don't slaughter an animal, wait for it to die. And they have their eyes on the girls, the Chittite women. Reuven, who's the oldest, he messed with his father's bed. after the death of Rachel, Yaakov wanted to have another tribe, another 13th, and he wanted to, the only way that he could have this was with Bilhah, Rachel's concubine. And Reuven, as a firebrand, stands up for his mother's honor, and he says to his father, you can't sleep with this concubine when my mother will lose face. All right, so long as Rachel was alive, she was your favorite. Okay, fair enough. But now, and he moved Yaakov's bed into his mother's tent. And Yaakov never slept with a woman again in his life, and you know, the world would be a very different place had he had 13. Very different. As it was, this child came into the world split into Menashe and Ephraim, and history is bifurcated. We went down a different trouser leg of time, so to speak. Reuven knows what it is to mess with your father and to interfere with your father's, not just his sexuality, but his geniture, his whole yichus. And the Yaakov is Tiferes, which shines like the sun up until the point where you block it, you know. And you eclipse the sun, and it goes dark. And Reuven, in his own way, he eclipsed the dark. And even though in the very same verse, the Torah tells us, and Yaakov has 12 children, to tell us that Reuven didn't do something that bad, that it was really a blip. But Reuven really understands what he did. And the Midrash says that he's Osuk b'sakoi v'tanoisa, when the brothers sold Yosef and they sat down to eat, and Reuven wasn't there, because it says in Vayoshev Reuven el aboyer, and Reuven comes back and he sees Yosef's not there. So there's an interesting medrash. It's brought in a few places, and it says when Yosef walked up to his brothers and they saw him coming, they said, oh, here's the master dreamer. And they wanted to do something, they wanted to harm him. Vayishma Reuven, the Torah tells us, Vayatzilehu meyodam. Reuven heard them talking and he saved them. And he said, let's throw him into the pit. And the Gemara says, and the Medrash says, that God says to Reuven, Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu Reuven, Atu Posachtu Batzolus Nefoshes. You're the first one to do Hatzolah, to save a soul. Chayecho, I promise you, Shein Mafrishin or Emeklo Tchila B'tchumecho. You'll be the first, and will be in your territory, that the first city of refuge will be set aside. And then the Medrash ends saying, Vayoshev Reuven El Aboyer. Reuven comes back to the pit. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua say, what does it mean he comes back? Osukoi besakke betaniso, he was busy with his sackcloth and his fasting. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so God says, Me'oilam lo'ichota odam lefonai v'osa tshuva. Nobody has ever sinned and then done teshuva. V'atosisus tshuva, and you did teshuva. Chayecha, I promise you, she'ben bincha oimed b'seich b'tshuva tchila. Your great-grandson is going to open and be the first one to do tshuva. And who is this? This is Hoshea, the prophet. As it says, Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Lekecha. And on Shabbos Shuva, we read from that prophecy in Hosea, repent, O Israel. So the Noizdesha asks, what do you mean? He's the first one to do tshuva? Well, and Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses didn't say, Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Lekecho, V'shavtu Ad Hashem Lekecho, and you will return to God. You know, lots of people did Shuva. So he says, Reuven understood what Yosef had done, that in saying something bad about the brothers, he had caused Yaakov to question himself and his sexuality. You know, Yaakov says, well, what have I brought into the world? You know, and Yaakov, to be Yaakov, he needed to feel safe, and he needed to have confidence in his way of worshiping God, that it was right, you know. And Yosef, in bringing their bad report, was really forcing Yaakov to question, and this is the reason that Reuven, the Torah tells us that he slept with his father's concubine, even though he didn't sleep with her, he just moved the bed. But telling us that for Yaakov, any attempt to confuse the issue of his issue, right, of his what he'd given for birth to, you know, that this was a calamitous. And so Reuven could see that Yosef had done the same thing that he was doing, for which he was now doing teshuva. So Reuven said, and the Torah tells us, and Reuven heard them, and he saved Yosef. How did he save Yosef? He said, throw him in the boil. And Reuven's the oldest. And Reuven went away to do teshuva. Reuven went away to do teshuva for what he had done to his father. And Reuven knew that if he does teshuva and he comes back, Yosef will see him. And when you see somebody do teshuva, you do teshuva. That's it. You can't help it. Gedoy l'tshuva shemagas ad kisei hakoved. Tshuva is the greatest thing in the world, that it reaches the throne of glory, which is to say that a person who does teshuva brings God down into the earth, mamish lemata me'asorot tefachim, below 10 handbreadths. When a person does teshuva, it's not that he lifts himself up, but that magas ad kisei hakoved, he touches the throne of glory, which is to say that God is sitting with his feet mamish on earth. If a person does tshuva and you see that person, you do tshuva also. You can't help it. So Reuven's plan is that he'll do tshuva and he'll come back to the boyer, and Yosef will see him and he'll do tshuva too. And then the brothers will see that Yosef has done tshuva. They'll relent and they'll let him go home. That was the plan. What happens? Reuven comes back, and all the brothers do teshuva. But Yosef has already been sold. He's not there. As soon as the brothers do teshuva, it says that they shecht, they slaughter a goat. You know, Yosef accused them of eating eva min achai, of eating a limb from an unslaughtered animal. They slaughter an animal at that moment, which is an act that requires metinut, the opposite of haste. What is it that they do at that moment? The Medrash says they include God in what they have done. And they did that with the shechita. In other words, they do something very, very carefully. They look at themselves and they say, Reuven, you've come back in a state of complete 100% teshuvah. And we all realize now that we've done a terrible thing, but he's gone. Yosef has been sold. We sold him while you were away. Why did we do that? And they could see in the act, they could see the hand of God. And that means that they were mitzaref, that they included HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the meaning of that slaughter, that act. You know, Yosef, the Medrash says, that they sold Yosef for 20 pieces of silver. The Medrash Tanchum says, well, a beautiful child like that, I mean, it wasn't a child. I mean, he was prime slave material for 20 pieces of silver. I mean, you buy a dozen pair of shoes. I mean, this is... So the Medrash says that as soon as they threw Yosef into the pit, from the terror of the snakes and scorpions, he changed color. He had this, like, he went into trauma. He went yellow. Ich weiß, he was struck with some kind of like jaundice, you know. And when they pulled him out of the pit, he looked like he was going to die on the road to wherever it is. It's like whoever bought him was making an investment, thinking it might be worth something. I mean, it's like that was how bad he looked. That this was not Yosef, the 17-year-old beauty. This was a very sick puppy. And the people, you know, one sold him to the other, and they couldn't get rid of him fast enough. He was still breathing. This one sold him to the Midianim, and the Midianim to the Seichrim, and the Seichrim, and so forth, because he looked like he was on his last legs. So Yehuda says, Ma betza, what profit? The word betza also means bitzua, which is a compromise. Yehuda says, how can we compromise? Why would Yehuda? The Gemara says that there were three things that Yehuda did, and as a result, his brothers made him king. And one of the three things is this: he negotiates to sell Yosef instead of killing him. See, Yosef, Yehuda looks at Yosef when they pull him out of the pit. And he's turned green. He looks like he's on death's door. But the Gemara says, "Boy, reik ein boy mayim," that the pit that they threw him into was empty. It had no water in it. And the Gemara says, "Yeah, water it didn't have, but snakes and scorpions it was full." So yeah, Yehuda says to his brothers, "Wait a minute, wait a minute. You can't just kill him, because if he wasn't holy, if he didn't have the tzura of Ayid, if he didn't look like a malach, then the snakes and scorpions would have made short shrift of him. Like with Daniel in the lion's den, you know, because he didn't eat from Nebuchadnezzar's table, so he still looked like Ayid, so the lion wasn't going to eat him. If those snakes and scorpions didn't touch Yosef, then he's not who we think he is." So his brothers, so Yosef says, "So let me go home." Yehuda says, "But I can't let you go home, because you, my boy, you look very, very ill. If you were so holy, you wouldn't look the way you look. Have you seen yourself? You've turned green. You're going to have to work through some kind of a karma." So this is one side of the bitsua, one side of the compromise, the negotiation. Then he turns to Shimon. Shimon said, "Va'ato lechu unhargeu." Now, let's go and kill him. The Gemara says, "Ein va'ato ela loshin teshuva." Whenever the Torah says, "And now," it's a call to repentance. And in fact, the Medrash says that when God says that, I mean, the first time that we encounter the word va'ato and now is by Adam HaRishon, and God says, "And now, lest he stretch forth his hand and eat also from the tree of life." So the Medrash says that from here we learn that God tried to get Adam HaRishon to do teshuva. We learn it from the word va'ato. How do we know? Because God, because Moshe says, "Va'ato Moshem lekech Hashem Yidden." What does God ask from you? Only to fear Him and do. So when Moshe is calling the Yidden to do tshuva, he says, "Va'ato," and now. Shimon says, "Va'ato," and now. He says to Yehuda, "Is it natural? You're going to tell me it's natural for Yosef to walk in here like a lamb into the wolf's den? Is it natural that his father Yaakov forgot that we all hate him, and he's just sent us here? He sent him here unprotected. This is a message from heaven. We gotta kill him." And in fact, Shimon argued that killing Yosef would be the tikkun for Adam's sin of eating from the tree of knowledge. So the fact that he could accuse us of you know, being free with the girls and the Chittai guys, this is the Eitz Hadas. He's eaten from the tree of knowledge, and that's his problem. He's eaten from the tree of knowledge. And now let's finish what God started, and we'll kill Yosef, and we'll fix the eating from the tree of knowledge. And Yehuda says, Ma betza ki nahargeu v'chisinu es domayu, and we'll cover his blood. What's this business with the covering of blood? You know, Adam wasn't allowed to eat meat. Only after the flood, Noach and his children were permitted to eat meat. And a behemoth is one thing, but a chaya, or a bird, you have to cover the blood. Kisri hadam. Yehuda says to Shimon, I agree with you, but are you going to eat Yosef when you killed him? What? He says, well, yeah, you want to kill him as a tikkun, yeah, but then you have to eat him. You have to do kisri adam. You have to, the blood has to, you know, be recirculated, the life force there. You know, you have to do a tikkun on an animal by killing it, then you then have to eat it. It's not why you, how is Yosef going to have a tikkun if you just kill him? We've got to leave him to work through his karma. And if he'll do tshuva, he'll somehow fix it. So let's not kill him. Let's sell him. And, you know, if we're talking about, you know, fixing or whatever, you know, Canaan, it says that his father cursed him because of the erva. He saw his father's nakedness and this and that. You know, if we're into the Eitz Hadas and stuff like that, let's sell him as a slave, be like Ham and Canaan and so forth. And they agreed. Now, what is it all about? How come, you know, Yosef knows that he's a tzaddik? Yehuda and his brothers, they know that they're not Rishaim. The Zohar Kodesh says, Rabbo Yisroi Sadik, he quotes a verse from Psalms 34. Rabbo Yisroi Sadik Mikulam Yatzilenu Hashem. Many are the evils that come upon the tzaddik, and God protects him from everything. This is Yosef. And Reb Chiya says, it doesn't say Rabbois Ro'ois La Tzaddik. It doesn't say many evils come upon the Tzaddik. It says Rabbois Ro'ois Tzaddik. Many evils are the Tzaddik. What does it mean? So Reb Chiya sees a play on the word Ro'ois. The word Ro'ois in Hebrew means evils. But in Aramaic, it means desire and love and friendship and happiness and joy. Like Sameach Tesamach Reim Hu Ahuvim. He says, Elo Tzadik begin de Kuchibrichi Itro'i Bei. Because God is friends with the Tzadik. So Ro'is Tzadik and Ru'us Tzadik, the evils that befall the tzaddik and the love that God has for the tzaddik, they go together. And that's Yosef, he's the tzaddik. If it had said, Rabbi Yisroel lo tzaddik, many of the things that happen to the tzaddik, no. They happen to the tzaddik. But it's Rabbi Yisroel tzaddik, then it goes on a much, it's so much deeper, right? So, the Ari says, the Torah tells us, Vayehi Yosef yefei toyav yefei mar. Yosef was beautiful of form and beautiful of complexion. So the first letters, Yifei Toyav, Yifei Mare, Od Yud Tov Vav Mem, which spells the word Yosem. He was an orphan. I learned this many times without seeing the Grois Chochma. I mean, you know, sometimes something can be staring at you, and you know, so the Ari said, Yifei Toyav, Yifei Mare is Yosem. So what? So the Heilige Radzina says like this. What does it mean to be a Yosem? It means you don't have a mother. Who's the mother? The mother is Bina. Emo Eloah, the supernal mother, right? Chochma is the father. Bina is the mother. And we know that the Hispashtusa de Bina ad Hoyt, that the flow or the spread or the evolution of Bina only goes as far as Hoyt. So after Bina, you have Chesed and Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, and Hoyt. So these five Sephirois have in them the Hispashtus of Bina, which means the awareness. What is it? Bina is the vessel that holds Chochma, which is the divine flow into the world. You can only hang on to your awareness as far as Hoid, but Yisoid, when it comes to sexuality, you cannot hold on to your awareness. It's the nature of sexuality, which is the Sephira of Yosef. Yesod is a Yosem, that the Sephira of Yesod, of fundament of sexuality, is an orphan in that it has no mother, meaning that it has no Bina. Because the essence of sexuality is Shikha, is forgetting. You see, really, Yesod, the Sephira of Yosef, is the ultimate masculine Sephira. It's Zachris, it's Zachira. It is the masculine, which means to remember, Zachar. But in order to approach orgasm, a person has to let go of the Zachira, of the Zachris, of the remembering, and has to allow himself or herself to enter into Das, into knowing, which is to be in the moment. Yeah, you can't hang on to the past and you can't hang on to the future. As the body approaches orgasm, it becomes more now-centered and it forgets. It's shikha, it's forgetting. And that's the meaning of Yifei Toyav, Yifei Mare, that Yosef is a Yosem. He is disconnected from the mother because he's in the moment of Das. In Parshas Boy, the Zohar Kodesh talks about, it says, Boy El Paroi, God says to Moshe, come to Pharaoh, and the Zohar Kodesh says, Lech mi boy, he should have said, go to Pharaoh. But Moshe was afraid, because God took him, Idrin Bosa Idrin, rooms, inside rooms, into the very center of the center of the center of the universe. And there, Pharaoh is wallowing in his river. Pharaoh, as the Tanin HaGodel, as the great dragon, as the great serpent. And God says to Moshe, make war with Pharaoh. And Moshe is afraid. And God says, Boyo Paroi, come with me, because I will. Hineni Olecho Paroi, behold, I am against you, Pharaoh. So the Zohar Kodesh says, Ze'irin inun, very few are those who understand the secret of Pharaoh, the great dragon, the serpent, and Moshe's fear, and how this ties in with Ma'aseh Bereishis, how this is these are the building blocks of the world. And very few, everybody, he says, learns the Torah, but very few are those Beroza de uvde de breishis chevraya lo'an. The Zohar Kodesh says, in the whole Masa Bereishis, everybody is studying the creation of the world, the Yodin Bey, and many of them know a lot about it. Avos Zeirin Inun de Yodin leRamzu Uvde de Bereishis Beroza de Tanin Hagoda. But very few are those who can get through the secrets of Masa Bereishis, the creation, to get through to the secret of the Tanin Hagoda, the great serpent, the dragon. So the Radzina says the secret of the great dragon is the secret of forgetting, which means, you know, we think that forgetting, what could be a greater sin than forgetting? Yeah, but it's the sin of being in the now. And the dragon, the Tanin Hagodol, the great serpent, the Nochash Hakadmoini, all he's saying is that forget the past, the future hasn't happened yet, just be in the now, right? And that's the meaning of Das, that's the meaning of eating from the tree of knowledge and being in this moment. See, just as an orgasm can't happen without the body becoming more and more focused in the present moment and letting go of the past and forgetting about the future, and it doesn't exist, it's only this moment that as it gathers, the world is the same way. The whole Ishbitz Torah is based on this idea that it's not just sexuality that manifests in this way, but the whole world manifests in this way. And Yosef, nobody understands this, but Yosef has to go down to Egypt, and Yosef is the masculinity of Yaakov, and it has to go down into Egypt, and it has to gather in that same way, in that precursor to orgasm, the way a human body has to, and that requires forgetting. And the, you know, Yosef, when he calls his son Menashe, he says, "Kinoshanik, God made me forget, you know, me base is kolamoli," and as far as Yaakov is concerned, Yosef is gone. And that's the nature of birth. I mean, for 600,000 souls, Yiddish Kinderlech, to come into the world, there has to be that complete, total forgetting. And, you know, as long as the kavana, as long as a person has kavana, you know, in the Kabbalah, the child that is born comes from the kavana of the parent. So the thoughts that we have in our mind, they are actualized in the sperm, which flows down the spinal column and comes out as sperm. And so those thoughts are what beget the children. Everything is very good up until the moment where it leaves the body. When the sperm leaves the body, that's it. From that moment on, no machshavos, no kavanot, no preparations are going to help. After there, it's lost. At that moment, there's no connection whatsoever between what was going on in the mind of the person having sex and what is happening outside. And, you know, a person's kavana is very nice, very holy. But for something to be a binyan adayan, for something to go on for all eternity, only God can make that. And so that's why the birth of a new soul requires that the father at some point has to let go. And the pu'ula, the mouse, goes out into the world beyond the control of the father. And then it is directly in the hands of God. And so Yosef going down to Egypt was the equivalent of the sperm being ejaculated from the body. And Yosef being cast out into Egypt is you know, he's cut off now from Yaakov. And what's happening here is the birth of worlds. And that's what the Zohar Kodesh says. There are very few of the Chachamim who understand the secret of the Tanin Hagodol, because what is going on is much bigger than the people who are active, in the process, they don't know what's going on. Only Rebbeinu Shel Olam knows what's going on, because when it comes to the birth of a new person, you know, person, you know, in the sperm, there's billions of possible children, you know, and who chooses how the DNA unfolds? It's like if you look inside a newly fertilized ova under electron microscope, it looks like Nagasaki. It looks like there's been a nuclear explosion, which is what there has been. There's been an explosion in the nucleus. And what unwraps there, and what enfolds there, and what happens there is mamish, everything is hashgacha protis. And how the pairs pair, and how the chromosomes unfold and join, and this is pure hashgacha protis, divine providence. And for it to happen, it has to happen outside the realms of the Father. And so Yaakov has to expel, ejaculate Yosef, so that Yosef can go out there into the world and do what he needs to do. Where? In Mitzrayim, of course, only in Mitzrayim. Because God creates worlds and destroys worlds, and he says, Dein lo hanyan li, dein hanyan li, these I don't like them, these I like. Oh, this world I like. How can we understand this process of the worlds being born and then being destroyed and the new worlds? This is not for us to understand. But ultimately we know that this is the way that the Jewish people is born. And this can only happen, a binyan adei ad, a creation, something, a building that goes on forever, only God can do. And for that, we have to let go and let God. Shkoyach.